Are you ready to change the trajectory of your business and see massive improvements? Each week, we'll share strategies and practices to generate sustained results and long-lasting success in your organization. Welcome to the Innovation Junkies Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Innovation Junkies Podcast. My name's Jeff Standridge.
This is Jeff Amaran. I'm glad to be back with you.
Hey, me as well. Me as well. It's been a few days since we've been together, and I'm looking forward to our chat.
Now, what are we going to talk about today? I know we've covered a lot of ground on our strategic growth system. What are we going to hit today?
Well, we have covered a lot of ground, and we've described our strategic growth system, at every individual level, and we've talked about execution. Most recently, we talked about how to wrap a meeting and review cadence around that. But as I've worked with clients, and I know as you've worked with clients, we've both seen a number of pitfalls that clients seem to fall into as they are trying to execute that meeting cadence and actually bring that strategic growth plan or strategic growth system to fruition. So I thought we might spend a little time talking about some of those, identifying some of those, and helping our listeners figure out how to navigate and overcome some of those.
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds great. And what are some of the things that you're seeing in that regard that are pretty common pitfalls?
You know, it's real interesting. One of the biggest one is the fear of what is perceived to be the rigidity of a 90-minute once a week meeting, and the fear that that's going to be cumbersome, that we've never had that level of structure in our meetings before, and when are we going to have the time to actually do it? And so what I have observed is, and what I tell clients is, look, the strategic growth system is fully customizable to whatever the needs are of your business. But let's start with a 90-minute meeting, and let's start with a regimented agenda, and let's try it for 3 or 4 weeks. And I've been sitting in on usually the first two, sometimes the first three of those meetings to keep them on track. And what I find is that it doesn't take any more than a couple of those meetings for them to say, oh my gosh, this is great. We've gotten so much done. We've never gotten this much done in two weekly leadership team meetings as we've gotten done today. And so the first pitfall is just this concept of fear, the fear of over-engineering something that they've never had any engineering behind before.
Sure. And the leadership's got to buy in first. If they don't believe in it, if they're just kind of going through the motions, nobody else that's around that table is going to be comfortable with it or buy into it as well.
That's right. You know, one of the other pitfalls that I have seen is not having the right people in the meeting, in the weekly meeting. And you begin to see it when you build out the strategic growth system, because if you'll remember, we talk about this concept of 100% accountability, which means that every goal, every quarterly priority or ROC, as it's sometimes called, every key issue, every key performance indicator, and every key action has a single accountable owner's name assigned to it. It's never shared by two people. One person owns each of those. You know, one person owns each one, or an individual person owns each one. And so it doesn't take long to start seeing that you have some people at the table who never have ownership of any of those, because they're really not at the level of perhaps a senior executive in the company. And so having the courage. So the first thing we talked about was the fear of over-engineering something you never had engineered before. The second one is having the courage to have some individual conversations saying, you know what, I'm going to give you some of your time back each week. You actually report to Sally, and Sally's at the table. And so Sally's going to represent your area of the business because she's the one who ultimately owns accountability for that work. And so having the courage to actually do that and do it in a constructive manner is another one of the pitfalls.
You know, anecdotal. And speaking to the point you're making is, we've been through this exercise a few times with groups where there's a bunch of talent, people related things, and you've got someone that is the HR director, the people director, and their name is not in any of those blocks that are relative to talent related issues, which kind of raises the question, if you're the CEO or if you're the outside consultant, is that the right person in the right seat? I mean, they ought to own most of those things if they're responsible for the most important asset in the company, which is the talent. And when they're not, you kind of wonder, what is that person doing? Is it just compliance, or are they not really leading that group?
That's a great point. You know, one of the other pitfalls I see is not being willing or not understanding that you can delegate the delivery of something that you own. So, and I have to repeat this multiple times, is just because your name is by it doesn't mean you have to take every action in order for that deliverable to come to fruition. You may have to pull people in this room together. There may be two or three people who have input into the decision there, but we've identified you as the owner. And so you're the owner of getting resolution on it or bringing it to fruition. And that means bringing the right people together if it's peers around the table. It might mean delegating some tasks to people on your team if you can't physically do all those things yourself. But it means that you have the responsibility for actually making sure that thing for which you've been assigned comes to fruition, whether it's a resolution of an issue, a carry out of a key task or a key action, or the delivery of a quarterly priority or what have you. And so really understanding that as well, that you can delegate, but you own it. And we also talk about this concept of accountability, that we're responsible for things and we're responsible for our actions, but we're actually accountable to people. And so when we talk about this concept of accountability, it's very, very important that everyone around that leadership team table understand that when their name goes down by something as being assigned to them and they accept that they are the person to deliver it, they're telling all of their peers around the table, I'm accountable to you to make this happen.
Right. Right. And you know, and sometimes in organizations, we deal with a lot of technology related organizations. One of the challenges that you have as a leader that has the accountability for something is you might have to also task someone that's lateral to you or doesn't report directly to you. So there's some interesting things that come from that, in that you have to use persuasion and negotiation and diplomacy to get the help from people that don't report directly to you to get a task done. But the only way organizations effectively grow is by the people that are responsible and accountable for delivering on issue resolution or project. They have to be comfortable assigning those tasks and then working through the issues that inevitably result. And if they aren't, things grind to a halt. They really have to be comfortable with that.
Yeah, it really, this process really greases the skids of progress, but it also highlights very, very quickly bottlenecks, people who have been promoted, using the Peter principle, perhaps people who have been promoted above their ability to deliver. You know, I've said for a long time that the complexity of an organization sometimes outgrows a senior leader's ability to continue contributing at an executive level. And so in those situations, you have to have certainly respectful and compassionate, yet sometimes direct conversations about role changes. And that's important for a leader to understand. You know, probably one of the biggest pitfalls that I see, Jeff, is this overwhelming tendency that we have to discuss and discuss and discuss and discuss and discuss, but to never solve anything. Sometimes I call it cuss and discuss. And everybody feels like they need to weigh in. And so people are repeating each other using different words, but really kind of affirming the same concepts. And so there is an inordinate amount of wasted time in most of these unengineered, unstructured meetings that we talked about, people having a fear of over-engineering. Well, because there's not some level of engineering and some level of accountability to each other to keep things on track, there's just an inordinate amount of wasted time. And so having someone, and I make sure that everyone around the table understands that they are empowered to raise their hand and say, are we swirling on this? Are we getting caught in the whirlwind? Or is there an issue that we need to document here? Or is there a key action that we need to document? And so generally every discussion should get to the point where either we identify an issue that needs to be resolved, or if we can't resolve, if we're talking about resolving an issue and we can't resolve it in that particular meeting and we're running out of time, then to say, well, then what key action needs to be taken in the next 7 days before our next weekly meeting, and who needs to take that action to at least move this issue forward toward a resolution. And so the entire mindset of the meeting, of everyone in the meeting, that develops over time should be of, how do we advance? How do we move things forward? If we can't actually resolve and check it off the list, how can we at least move things forward in a way that moves us toward resolution?
Well, and the other key, really interesting key point about that is some of the cultural stressors and the other fatigue that comes from your leadership team or your organization is relieved by having that. It's either done or it's not done. We've either got it resolved or it's, you know, off the table. We've killed it. But getting things to resolution where people can feel good about we made progress, even if it's small incremental progress, that is one of the major stressors in most people's jobs. When I was at Westinghouse many years ago, we called it the Westinghouse victim syndrome. We all walked around with this sort of malaise look on our face. And it was largely because we didn't feel like anything was ever really getting done at the operating level. It was just the same set of issues every day. There were jokes about, there were people in that organization whose main function in life was to take the papers in the morning from the left side of their desk and place them on the right side of their desk by the end of the day. And that was a job well done. That is not a high performing team. And that's kind of classic of organizations that don't have a good process.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so if you think about, and so in that instance, things just linger. Unresolved issues just linger. And one of the organizations that I worked with recently, within the first 6 weeks of implementing this system, through their weekly meetings, just six meetings, they cleared 34 issues. 34 issues that arose, got documented. And I tell them, when you document an issue, you really need to put it into a complete sentence, because it's just like when we work with innovators who are trying to create a new product, we want them to state the problem they're trying to solve. What's the problem statement? And so effectively, we're using that same process. What's the key issue statement that you've identified that we need to resolve? And so 34 of those in just six weekly meetings. And if you think about, and we're going to start landing this plane here shortly, but if you think about how our strategic growth system is structured, of course, we've got our mission, values, and brand promise, which answers the question, who are we? Then we've got our vision, our long-term targets, and our short-term goals that answer the question, where are we going? And then we begin to look at our quarterly priorities that tie to that strategic direction. Our quarterly priorities, which get assigned out to individuals. Then we have our key performance indicators that get assigned out to individuals. Then as we start working through those from 1 week to the next, issues arise that get assigned to individuals, and key actions get identified that get assigned to individuals. And so it's just this constant process of working through key actions, key issues, and quarterly priorities till we get to the end of the quarter. We look at how we've done for the last 90 days. We chart our course for the next 90 days, and we're off to the races again. And it's really, really phenomenal to watch leaders and executive teams who embrace this structure to watch the progress and kind of the kick in their step and the twinkle in their eye about 3 weeks in when they start seeing the progress.
Well, and it removes your pathway towards success from being in the realm of personal heroics in a crisis situation to something that's proceduralized and can truly be managed well.
Yeah. And let me just end by saying that if you're interested in learning more about the Innovation Junkie Strategic Growth System, give us a shout. Well, we'd love to hear from you and tell you what it's all about.
Very good. See you all next time.
This has been another episode of the Innovation Junkies podcast. Thank you for joining.
Feedback from listeners like you helps us create outstanding content. So if you like this episode, be sure to rate us or leave a review. Also, don't forget to subscribe to get the latest growth and innovation strategies. Thanks for tuning in to the Innovation Junkies podcast.